Hello, and welcome back to Houndcast. My name is Owen, and on this episode, Dylan Starr and I had a conversation with JP Orlando, class of 96. JP is receiving the Benigna Education Award at this year's Shining Lights Ceremony for his academic and medical education work with several Lehigh Valley institutions like St. Luke's, where he's been for the last 10 years. Continuing with this season's theme of success, we talked about how his definition of success was shaped by his time at Moravian and through his changing roles within Lehigh Valley, as well as how important it is to have intention when taking a look at your future. Let's get into the episode.
So, name is James P. Orlando. I go by JP. I graduated in 96. I double majored in business management and political science, specifically like American political thought, and got a French minor. I stayed abroad for a semester in France, which was really like fantastic. And then I came back, actually took a couple classes in education when I was out.
That
translates perfectly, you know? So then, I mean, all my subsequent stuff has been like education.
Yeah. Well, you're getting the Benigna Education Award, which recognizes an alum for their outstanding contribution in the field of education. So congratulations.
Thank you.
Very well deserved.
Thank you very much. It's humbled.
You said you had your doctorate in education?
Yes.
That's not easy.
I better know how to teach or do something, right?
Yeah. Owen's an education major.
Oh, cool.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's outstanding.
Thank you.
And with all the like multimedia and technology stuff, the AI.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you something. So AI is very cool. And it's been more of something that we're trying to integrate in the classroom.
Mm-hmm.
And even in like medical school and the residency education, we have a wild ideas team in our technology department at St. Luke's. And we have residents involved in that just to figure out, okay, so how do we leverage AI to make better clinical decisions on the floor? And interestingly, how to include how to help with physician well-being.
Mm-hmm.
So there's Microsoft, Apple, they're doing pilots with
AI
and how to help the physician or the provider at the bedside to actually write up the notes. Because that's what takes a long time.
Yeah.
You know? So like one of my colleagues is a physician, the senior associate dean. Her and I work close together. And so we were talking last night till about 7, and then, you know, she's like, well, I got to go finish my notes, right? But if you had something, if you had some technology there, the AI to leverage that education and AI, we're going to see a lot of change in that next coming years.
Yeah. You can really embrace it and it can lead to success.
Yeah.
President Grigsby is very open to accepting it. We know it's not going away. Moravian's definitely in the right direction in terms of like AI and forward thinking. You've been in your career for a number of years. Have you changed roles within the company?
I have. Mm-hmm. I've been at St. Luke's for 10 years now. And so I started off as the associate chief academic officer there. And then I got promoted into this chief medical education role, which is a bit more expansive. There's a physician shortage, a provider shortage, nursing shortage that we're dealing with in the country. And so, being able to impact that in the Valley has been really super rewarding. Today, we just got approval for a rheumatology fellowship. And then our retention rate on the back end is 40 to 50% easily. And so what helps me get this better understanding is really participating and volunteering on boards throughout my career. So I was on the accreditation commission for physician assistants for 7 years. And so getting, all the PA schools, like DeSales is a PA school, physician assistant school. The job there was to accredit all those programs, the 325 that exist in the country. And then just most recently, I've been on the Accreditation Council for Graduate Medical Education, which is a 6-year appointment. And that's we review, the applications. We just had a week-long meeting last week. We get together like 4 or 5 times a year. And that is accrediting the teaching hospitals, the university hospitals in the country to actually run residency programs. And when there's a physician shortage, specifically in primary care, which is linked to community health, and to be able to see the bigger picture and the trends that are happening, and then to take that knowledge more locally, that's kind of what helps. You know, if you're graduating, so we graduate about 150 new physicians a year into the community. And you have about 50% of them, 40 to 50% that are staying. So now, like our parents, now we have hem-onc oncologists that they can see. We have, for young families, more OBGYNs. We have more pediatricians, more subspecial pediatricians. We have the specialties here. And then, the environment that we provide, not just in St. Luke's but in the larger the community.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just a nice place to live.
For sure.
So being a part of that's really rewarding to impact in that manner.
Yeah. I can see a passion there.
Yeah.
Like you're really giving back and making a difference.
Yeah.
So, you can easily define success in your professional world.
Yeah.
Personally, because everyone has to be able to separate professional and personal. Is there a way that you define success?
I don't know, mowing the lawn, doing the laundry, right? I don't know.
They're right? Real feats. No,
those
I know.
Are really feats. I think probably like just successes. For me, it's seeing people grow. It's seeing teams grow. It's seeing organizations grow and realizing their potential. One of my things that I love is my organizational development background. That's kind of how I, you know, started out.
Mm-hmm.
And so organizational development, team development, leadership development, organizational development, it's all kind of like the what's underneath the hood.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that I picked up on when I was at Moravian,
mm-hmm.
you know, in my dealing with professors and political science classes, is just kind of understanding like the underlying currents
mm-hmm.
and then how that leads to organizational performance or being effective, being an effective leader, like emotional intelligence,
mm-hmm.
like, you know, is leadership something that's innate or is, you know, are you born with it or, mm-hmm. you know, can you develop it? And the research is very clear that you can develop. You could develop different types of leadership skills.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody has, you know, their strengths and their weaknesses, but
yeah.
it can be developed through feedback, you know, those type of things. Teams, super interesting as far as like, you know, how do you get a team from, you know, just getting together and getting them to a high performance level? Like there's actual, like there's science on this, there's models. And in the teaching that I do here mm-hmm. or down at Penn, I found that that's eye-opening to folks. Like
mm-hmm.
when they see like, wow, I can, you know, I can see the movement, you know, that I'm able better to handle conflict or, you know, get everybody on the same page. And the systemic development is really interesting. Everybody has a different perspective
mm-hmm.
in their organization based off of kind of where they sit in the system and being able to effectively partner with the different parts of the system,
mm-hmm.
whether you're tops, middles, bottoms, customers, everybody has a different experience. And I learned a lot about those things just from my time at Moravian, those kind of underlying currents.
So you're an adjunct professor for the MBA program, specifically
yes.
in leadership.
Yes.
Is it like organizational leadership that you're?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's individual, team, and then organizational leadership.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Those three kind of dimensions within a human system.
I feel like a lot of organization leadership, it's something that no one thinks of, but it's something that has to happen in
yeah.
order for everything to run.
Yeah. Yeah.
Definitely the behind the scenes.
And it's really interesting. So it's not necessarily hierarchical. I mean, a lot of it's just conditional, right? So if you're, you know, responsible for a project or whatnot, you know, you could be a top, and it doesn't mean that you necessarily are the CEO or whatnot. I mean, even the CEOs live in a world of where there could be the bottom when
mm-hmm.
they report to a board, for example. But when they have overall responsibility for something, right? I mean, they're a top. One of the best ways to know if you're a top or not within a system is, you know, when you wake up in the middle of the night and you're thinking about work and you might, you know, palms might be a little sweaty, right? I mean, like you're probably the only one that is experiencing that.
Yeah,
that's how you know you're a top, right? In that type of situation. And middles, which we all kind of ebb and flow between there as far as between who's running things and then who's providing services and product, which is the bottom. I mean, in the middle, if you feel crunched between two different perspectives, so like, hey, you know, we want to get some new education out, you know, to everybody. And, you know, you present it to, you know, the folks who are doing the work. Understanding those dynamics, I tell you what, has super helped me be more effective in the organization so that like, hey, when's the right timing to ask somebody for something?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, how will this land in your world? You know, hey, I have this great idea. Hey, I'm going to take it to the CEO. You know, how's this idea going to land?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and from their perspective, they might see it as, they might see it as a great idea, but they might also see it as like, you know, another input that I have to deal with. It can be perceived even as a little bit of a complaint, just based off of the way it's, you know, presented. So,
yeah.
Because they live in a world of complexity and accountability. So
mm-hmm.
it's interesting. Again, the underlying ebbs and flows that are hidden. And I have to point back to my professors at Moravian
mm-hmm.
and helping me get a greater appreciation for paying attention to that stuff.
Yeah.
Because it matters.
Definitely. I know you listed a few professors who had a big impact on you.
Yeah.
Bob Brill
yep.
was one of them.
Yep.
He says hello.
Yeah. That was awesome.
He said that you guys have a good time together.
Santo Mirabella, another
yes.
one.
Uh-huh.
Jim Ravella, and Gary Olson. I was in the Army before I got to Moravian.
Mm-hmm.
And I was doing ROTC over at Lehigh. And so one of my first freshman classes was with him.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had to run over to Lehigh right after his class. And so I had my uniform on, my BDUs, and he walks in the class and there's two things that really struck me. First of all, was that he had long hair and he looked a little bit like, you know, someone from the 60s, a little hippie and all that. But I really thought to myself, boy, I'm really going to learn something. I'm going to get a different perspective on how things work.
Uh-huh.
And then the second thing was, you know, he looked at my BDU uniform and he's like, are you sure you're in the right place?
Had to question things.
Yeah, right.
Do you think he took away just as much as you did?
That's an interesting question. I think Gary, because he was my advisor and I took all of his classes. I think Gary always learned from others. And that's what made him so great. That's what makes a lot of the professors great here, is that there's a mutual exchange. There's learning going on.
Mm-hmm.
If you're in any kind of teaching position, if you're not learning from somebody, then you're not really doing your job right.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Right. It's kind of like everybody's different perspectives, different experiences, and everybody has something to contribute.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. So you teach a lot, clearly.
Mm-hmm.
If you had any suggestions or ideas for a soon-to-be graduate, what would that be?
I would say probably, there's a couple basic ones, like, you know, taking the Dale Carnegie human relations class, right, is probably one of the best things I did for myself. Not only learning how to speak, but how to, you know, speak in a way that you're building relationships with folks, make a point with presentations or when you're speaking with somebody. Finding out like what your personality disposition is super helpful, because you'll have some that are like my wife. Like she's like, she knew at 4 years old she wanted to be a nurse, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't have that realization. So, and that's a lot of that is personality driven. So I'm a qualified administrator for the Myers-Briggs type indicator, which is the best researched personality assessment in the world.
Yes.
And
it's long. It's a long one.
It's long. And a lot of them are long. And that's to ensure validity and reliability. Mm-hmm. But once you kind of get through that, you kind of get a picture of, okay, so if I'm an ENFP, what are some of my strengths? What's my blind spots? What might be some of my career things, jobs that I would like?
Mm-hmm.
And I found that super helpful in guiding me as far as what jobs I took or what jobs I looked at. And then, of course, like just feedback. So not only is that good just from a leadership perspective, but it's good from just developing yourself and getting a greater awareness of what do you put your time into, you know, and where will you get the greatest fulfillment? Because I'll tell you what, like now looking at it, it is so clear to me. They say follow your passion and all that. And I think that's good. And I think that's what you want to do. And to dig into that, what that passion means, like so alive energy, what makes you alive? What brings that spark in your eye, right? I mean, that is really what you want to and find that out. And some people know it right away. I know I get that spark with any type of teaching, some of the executive coaching that I do and when I'm working the system.
Yeah, definitely. I know when you don't know what you want to do, it can be a real weight on your shoulders, especially freshly graduated. I was the same way where I studied communications and it's a very broad general idea. And I had to go through a lot of finding what I didn't like to do.
Yeah, right.
To find what I do like to do.
Yeah.
Was there anything right out of college that you found out you didn't like to do?
So I'm not that great of a detail-oriented person. So I knew I didn't want to do lab work. Like I knew I loved people.
Yeah.
Right. And so I knew I did not want to be in a lab.
Yeah.
Or not interact with folks. And I mean, it's not like, for example, like if I took a CPA route or an accounting route, you know, I mean, like not that they don't interact with people because they do, but you're very focused on the books and the numbers and all that stuff and doing Excel spreadsheets, which is fine. And I could do if I need to do. And there's a level of satisfaction I get from doing it, but I also know it's not the spark.
Uh-huh.
Right. And so that's really like, you know, you're saying finding out what gives you the spark in your eye and what doesn't.
Yeah.
Where's the alive energy and where isn't it?
Yeah.
Doesn't mean you can't do or enjoy the stuff that doesn't give you alive energy, but where is it? Where do you have it?
Yeah.
And to zero in on that, man, I'll tell you what, that's bliss right there. I guess the only other question I'd want to know is for both of you, like, what do you see for yourself in the future as far as like options, right? It doesn't have to be detailed because that's not realistic, but like different scenarios that you see play out for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
I've always had a lot of different interests and I didn't really have like a set goal going into school. Like a lot of people that go into school, and I feel like at Moravian too, a lot of people come in like with a very steady idea in mind. And I was just like, well, I don't know.
Yeah.
I originally came in and I was going to be a poli sci major just because I like politics.
Right.
But then I was like, ooh, I got to do a lot of math. So I transitioned to English because I was thinking about going into education anyway.
Sure.
So now I'm English, secondary ed.
Uh-huh. What excites you about those subjects?
I've always liked writing. Mm-hmm. I wrote a lot in high school. Like I worked on our newspaper. I was you know, editor of our newspaper, I always really liked the classes where I had to write a lot in because I got to express a lot of different ideas. Mm-hmm. And I've written by myself mm-hmm. a lot too. And then just education, originally when I got into it here, I was kind of hesitant because mm-hmm. with my first field placement, I was with kindergartners mm-hmm. and I was like, these kids are so cute, but I do not want to teach them.
Yeah, right.
And so I was like, dang, is teaching really for me? Uh-huh. And then this past semester, I was at Northeast Middle School
yeah.
with sixth graders uh-huh. and I was in an ELA classroom, which was nice.
Yeah, yeah.
And I had a lot of fun there. I was like, okay, yeah, this is for me. I love music.
Uh-huh.
I'm not a music major, but like I do some of the jazz stuff
uh-huh.
here. I work on my own music. Uh-huh. I help my friends with their music.
Uh-huh.
So I would love to do that uh-huh. too. And I think that's still a possibility
yeah.
as well.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. So what might that look like in the future?
I'm not sure. Uh-huh. I would like to just make music for a living.
Okay.
But I could see myself doing some sort of running sound for mm-hmm. certain things or whatever. Like if I learned how to do that,
because mm-hmm.
that's what my friend does at Stevens.
Mm-hmm. And
so I'd be like, hey, give me your $80,000 education.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So writing and music making
yeah.
somehow intertwined with education.
Totally, yeah.
You know? So that's really good because what you got there is an intentional signature.
Mm-hmm.
So like one of the things when it comes to like goal setting, even shorter long term, is that you have these New Year's resolutions, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they can't be very specific. And after 2 weeks, it's kind of like, what was I thinking? But if you throw an emotional signature out there or intentional signature, they're called, they're more emotional. That's good because it doesn't have to be detailed. It doesn't have to be concrete.
Yeah.
But it has to be an intention.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm hearing. Mm-hmm. Owen. When you're talking about that.
Thank you.
So that's awesome. Dylan, how about you?
Happiness is kind of mm-hmm. what I'm going for. Mm-hmm. I think I'm a very happy person, mm-hmm. but you can always improve and, mm-hmm. you know, find a niche. I absolutely love my job, but I teach yoga on mm-hmm. the side.
Oh, excellent.
Which I'm going to actually after this.
Nice.
So I think, you know, finding a love of the community and mm-hmm. being able to be ingrained. I moved to Bethlehem 2 years ago, finding my people, finding my circles. Work is only so much of your life.
Yeah, right, mm-hmm. right. So in addition to the work, would you say you love this work?
I do. I'm a party planner
uh-huh.
at the soul of it.
Yeah.
I do
yeah.
events and I get to do this podcast.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
As a communications major, I'm into it, you
yeah.
know? This
yeah,
is
yeah.
what I was looking forward to and I never thought this would be my job.
What is it about like the party planner doing this work that really kind of...
I like
taps into you
bringing people together.
Oh, awesome. Nice.
I'm an only child and uh-huh. I think it started from when I was in middle school. I would
yeah.
have people over and have parties and
uh-huh.
it was fun to uh-huh. be in a social situation that I felt comfortable in.
Uh-huh.
And that's what I want to make for other people,
yeah.
to other people feel comfortable.
Yeah.
Have a good time.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You definitely do that here, by the
way.
Like bringing people together is super, super important. Mm-hmm. And then how's the yoga? Where's that fit?
I've always had movement in my uh-huh. life. I was a dancer growing
okay.
up.
Oh, outstanding.
Basically ballet, tap, uh-huh. jazz point. And then after college, I needed mm-hmm. to find some sort of physicality.
Mm-hmm.
And I found yoga.
Mm-hmm.
I was living in Denver for about 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
And the yoga community out there is fantastic.
Wow. Wow.
So I got my teacher certification during mm-hmm. COVID. Mm-hmm. And now I'm here and mm-hmm. I get to spread that wealth
yeah.
around. So.
Well, that's awesome.
Yeah, it's really fun.
You know, one of the, just last comment, just about like the one thing about Moravian is, and we kind of touched on this, is that there's a lot of stuff to do,
mm-hmm.
right? And there's different options, different ways to learn and all that. So I played baseball here for a couple of years. My sophomore year, the Moravian Dancers, mm-hmm. they needed people to do the lifts. And so some of them were my friends.
Yeah.
And so there was a bunch of baseball players that were like, yeah, we'll help out. Yeah, sure. And so
oh,
we went
amazing.
To the studio and we helped out. And at the end of the day, it was only me and another baseball guy that stood and just say, okay, we'll do it because we knew the girls who were dancers. They're
yeah.
like, please, we need somebody to help us. So,
yeah.
So not only did I do the lifts
mm-hmm.
in one of the dance performances, but then one of my friends wanted me to tap dance with her. And so it was satisfying, definitely,
because
mm-hmm. I remember waking up the next morning just thinking like, wow, like that was really satisfying to
yeah.
do that. But it was eye-opening
mm-hmm.
Because I realized like just how much I like being in front of people.
Yeah.
And so much so that I did it the next year.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's
and
cool.
So, you know, Moravian kind of like Moravian star, right?
Yeah,
you know,
yeah, yeah.
There's a star in each one of us and Moravian yeah. has a way of really bringing that out in people. And I felt that was really something that I took away from this place.
Thank you to JP for being another wonderful guest on our show, and thank you for continuing to listen. We have a few more episodes in store for you this season that you won't want to miss. So we'll see you back here for our next episode at the beginning of April.